us. I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Yes, everybody, welcome to another episode of The Warm Down. We thought we'd do a live one today because Laurie was with us. So we thought we'd make it a Q&A because there's loads to talk about. And we thought, you know what, rather than just us deciding, why don't you lot decide? So what was you saying? Got loads going on this week. What did you do with Ollie today?
Yeah, so Ollie press conference this morning. It was in good spirits, actually.
It's not what you just said a minute ago.
off camera, Steve, you get the good stuff. Yeah, no, he was talking about, Pogba.
Get me closer.
Sorry, obviously, Pogba, back on the grass with physios, back training with the first team next week. But then again, we'll see how long that'll take him to get back, actually, match sharpness. He's been out for such a long time. I don't have any necessary faith that he'll be back anytime soon. Yeah, and he sort of reflected a little bit on Liverpool going out of the FA Cup, no sniggering, and just sort of saying, obviously, that it just highlights again how difficult it was doing the treble, obviously, which he was a part of. It was good. He was in decent spirits.
Why is Klopp rotating in the FA Cup?
I guess he just thinks Champions League is a huge prize. Premier League, still not quite.
Oh, come on. We could play centre-half and we'd probably get a game won between us at one point. I mean, how many points do you need to... I mean, all right, like to make it mathematical, but in realistic terms, it's one.
It's one,
like,
yeah.
Everyone chasing is a little bit iffy. It's one, Jurgen. Stop fucking about.
I think he's obviously thinking that, if, you know, he's rotated it, you know, in previous rounds. I guess he thought he had enough to go through, but at the same time, you know, maybe he just thinks Champions League is the one that he wants to win again. And obviously they've got a massive tie to turn that around against Atletico.
I mean, I'm not a bookie, obviously, but I wonder what the odds are now for them. You see this so often when teams smoke the league dead early. They don't really generally do well in Europe after that. I don't know if it's something about being able to, like, concentrate and then not concentrate. Yeah. I think they struggle to like, adjust focus. I think it well benefits you more when you just, like, every game's a killer. Every game, we've got to do it. And I wonder if it's going to show them up a little bit by the end of the season. Match them up next week.
Well, that is the sort of jeopardy that we're talking about with Solskjaer, where, obviously, you know, United were in those three competitions. Everything meant so much. And they went on that unbeaten run in all comps of, like, 33 games, didn't they? So, which stands the test of time when you compare it to either, you know, the Invincibles or whoever else that have gone on lead long unbeaten stretches, when you actually throw in the Champions League and FA Cup and all the other competitions.
And that's it. It's always more important to do it at the end of a season.
Yeah.
When it means stuff, then at the start of the season, when, all right, you advanced through a couple of rounds. So
And I think that, you know, Liverpool, it's an interesting one, actually, how they respond to this, because they've been so consistent for so long. And a lot of the time this season, they've actually not been great, but the mentality and their clear, you know, spirit that they've got has got them the win, and the fact that they never give up, basically. But I wonder what that defeat at Watford will do, because it was so comprehensive.
One win in four, I think you'll find, Laurie.
They're the stats.
Pressure's on.
How long's he got left?
Fortnite, I reckon.
I mean, you know, clearly,
it makes it one win in five. If you don't win this weekend, then it's one win in six. Then you've got to start asking questions, haven't you?
You're quite right. The scrutiny will mount. Clearly, United would swap places with them in a heartbeat. But
Matt, I think you'll find we're in still plenty of competitions, mate.
Yeah. Do you have faith in the FA Cup, Europa League?
Yeah. Who's in there that can beat us?
Well, Europa League, you look at it now and you think, you know, okay.
FA Cup and Europa League, who in there do you think you go, wow, I don't want to face them?
Well, Europa League, you can see Inter at some point, can't you? United,
I thought we were getting them in the last round.
Yeah, it got close, didn't it? Them and Roma. last year, I mean, Lask, so, you know, I mean, I'm frantically Googling sort of research.
As if you don't know who Lask was.
Yeah. Where are they in the Bundesliga, in the Austrian Bundesliga?
Second? Top.
Top. They beat Red Bull the other week, but I looked at the highlights of that.
Salzburg in second.
It was quite...
Do you want to watch the stadium holds?
Oh, no. So the UEFA one is different to their home one,
didn't
right?
Didn't ask you that.
Okay, well, which one are you?
Their stadium.
6,000.
And?
What? You want the precise?
Fucking right, I want the precise.
6,102.
No, I think it was 6,096. I was going to check, though. Like to be accurate.
But obviously that's not the stadium that United will be in.
6,009.
6,000. That's close. They'll be in a different stadium.
Yep. I don't know where that is.
Yeah. It's down the road, I think. 14,000 seated, so... An atmosphere to fear, really, for United there. You don't seem convinced.
Have you seen what their record is, though? What, unbelievable in, record that the coaches have there. No, just like the record at the club.
I'm not saying overall.
I mean, I know they beat, off the top of my head. It's a hell of a record, though.
Well, they beat Sporting Lisbon and they beat PSV this season pretty comprehensively at home. And obviously, they did lose to Club Brugge in the Champions League playoffs. So, and obviously, United, you know, dismissed them pretty comprehensively.
Oh, before I forget, this is brought to you by the guys at The Athletic, and you can get 50% off your subscription and a month's free trial by using the link in the description, which is theathletic.co.uk/Howson. But also, because it is sponsored by The Athletic, we're doing a bit of a Q&A, so get your Q's in and we'll give you the A. How about that? Thoughts on a goalkeeping situation for next season? Conundrum.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? I mean, you look at De Gea and that mistake at Everton just was so bad.
7-1 in last season and a half.
Last season and a half, yeah, that led to a goal. I mean, you know, on the flip side, he made two brilliant saves, didn't he, in the game. That first one to Calvert-Lewin really was.
5 minutes after he made the
so it doesn't affect him, clearly. But you look at him and think, if you take, what is it that has allowed you to sort of take that length of time? Are you not fully focused? Are you kind of just pretty blasé? Because he would have been told that Calvert-Lewin chases.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
And he had so much time. It wasn't like he was under pressure. Loads of time. The pass was fine. Yeah. It made no sense.
Yeah. So I don't know. I wonder, obviously, they've changed coaches. I wonder how that's working.
I tell you what, that lad, I don't know his name. The it was from Burnley, we got him, wasn't it? Was it Craig?
Is it Mullins? God, we definitely should have.
That geezer that we got, well, was, you know, how do you research when you don't know what questions are? the geezer that we got in, been watching him shooting at the keepers. Tell you what, if Ighalo goes down, just think about it.
Love the warm-ups, don't you?
You got to watch the warm-ups. Yeah. You got to see what's going on in the warm-ups. Yeah. That goalkeeper, right dig on him.
Okay.
And we're talking joints and corners and stuff as well. So he's making it hard for him in the warm-ups.
And that's harder than it looks. I mean, it sounds simple, doesn't it? A goalkeeping coach testing a goalkeeper with a straight shot. I've seen goalkeeping coaches have an absolute mare when they've been warming
up. Just spinning like, sorry.
Left, right, I'll get over. It. Yeah. So Dean Henderson's definitely going to come back into the fold, isn't he, when his loan's finished at Sheffield United. I think Solskjaer wants to have a proper look at him. There's certain people that think he would be good for bringing competition to De Gea, because at the moment you've got Romero, who's a great keeper as a number two, but can't really apply proper pressure as a number one. Obviously, Lee Grant is you know,
and
Lee Grant
basically retired.
Well, he's injured at the moment, so but it was the new lad Pope, wasn't it, on loan. They bought from Southend, who was on the third choice keeper at Everton at the weekend. He came through the mix zone, massive smile on his face. He is just loving being around United. So.
Being a second and third choice goalkeeper is mad, isn't it? Because you're basically a paid cheerleader.
Well, there's a certain group, aren't there, of third choice goalkeepers, English goalkeepers that kept getting signed because they were British and they could, you know, fill up the quota. So you had like Rob Green at Chelsea, Scott Carson at City.
Richard Wright for a little bit.
Yeah, Richard Wright, Lee Grant. Stuart Taylor made a bit of a career out of it, didn't he?
Oh, not playing.
Yeah, basically.
Imagine like the kids at school. What does your daddy do? He's a footballer. All right, do you go and watch him? Not really. Okay.
There is definitely a value to them. Certain coaches really want like a, you know, another good goalkeeper there as a, you know, as a assistant coach, basically. So there is a sort of value.
Yeah, I heard that's what Lee Grant sort of fulfills, a bit of a mentor and coach rather than just the third in the pecking order.
And obviously, Ollie gave him that nice sort of gesture, didn't he? And Astana sort of gave him a game. So, you know, there is that at least every now and again.
I guess. I mean, it's a mad role, isn't it? The third choice goalkeeper. Yeah. But United seem to have this massive stock of belting goalkeepers. People are sleeping on Joel Pereira. You know, you've seen some. I mean, Dean Henderson, there wasn't many people seeing their ass with him just being on loan constantly. And it's only really in the last 18 months or so that he's really grown. But I think he's won Player of the Year 3 times consecutive wherever he's been. Mm. Was it Shrewsbury? And then Sheffield United. Yeah. Which is no mean feat. Mm. And to be a good goalkeeper that wins Player of the Year in a successful team is particularly hard, I think. Mm. Because generally, you don't get a lot of trade if your team's getting promoted and winning leagues. Mm. But he managed to get Player of the Year in successful teams. That shows you how good he is, I think.
Mm. And that is more of a endorsement for his potential at United, because obviously United, a lot of the time, it'll be him just having to stay switched on. He might not necessarily have to be fielding as he is at Sheffield United. shot after shot more often than not. Whereas for all the fact that they do play really good football, whereas at United, you think it's more about the staying alert, and obviously that's what De Gea sort of let himself down with, you know, with that the kick that obviously Calvert-Lewin pumps in.
De Gea's distribution is also a massive factor to take into account here.
Yeah,
I've noticed United are very easily pressed out of the back, and our default option when we are pressed is to go to the keeper, and which makes it worse. I don't think it makes it better when we go to the keeper. I think it makes it worse. And prior to what we saw with Everton, there's been mistakes where even if they haven't resulted in a direct goal, they've resulted in problems for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to be something Watford that's playing on his mind.
Watford was a big game for that, wasn't it? Yeah.
And that also coupled with the fact that he's on your best part of $500,000 a week.
Well, that's it. Now he's got, you know, he's got the wage, he's got the seniority in the squad. You want him to step up. You want him to be that commanding figure. It was noticeable, actually, as you say, there was a moment just after he'd done his error where Wan-Bissaka had a chance to go back to him, and he decided against it, turned the other way and kicked out for a throw-in, basically. So clearly that then did seep out, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see. Obviously, he'll start against City. It'd be interesting to see if he starts against Derby. Whether Solskjaer thinks get him out there again, just sort of
literally can go either way, couldn't he? You can see the argument for letting him have a night off, total night off, and you can see the argument for throw him in again, see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. This morning he wasn't saying one way or the other. To be fair, it could go could be Romero. But
with him talking about Wan-Bissaka and have a bit of a niggle, do you think that's mind games again? Because everyone is like, oh, I don't know when he's back. they always play the next game. Now, I don't think he plays against Derby anyway.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's an opportunity. Because he's absolutely pocketed Sterling.
He's perfect for City, isn't it? Because, I mean, that's obviously the criticism that he's had is, are you good enough going forward in a team that's going to, you know, have a lot of possession of the ball? Well, clearly against City, United are going to have 30% possession, whatever it'll be. And was it a City game at the Etihad, wasn't it, where he absolutely excelled? I mean, that tackle on Sterling in the box, the way he just sort of tracks him.
Like, yeah, and that's what I think, was it the week after he gave a penalty away? And you were like, you know what, you've got to accept that.
Because well, that's it. He's obviously got that in his mind where I can do these last-ditch tackles. And
say again.
It's really, do you say it?
Last-ditch tackles.
Oh, I'm not a fan. Last ditch tackles. There we go.
Unique New York.
Oh, God, are you good at those? Tongue twisters?
No, not really.
Okay.
I tripped myself up saying something the other day. What was it? Three clean sheets. I said clean three sheets. It's close.
We got what you were.
Yeah, I think everyone got it. Yeah. Sort of. Ryan Fraser has 6 months on his deal. Do you know what? There's a lot of really good players on freeze, isn't there?
It's been surprising that he's got so close to his end of his contract. I mean, I guess he's been playing out for it for a while. Arsenal are the ones that I always hear with Fraser. I wonder if we've got, you know, United have got Dan James, so sort of quite a similar style of player.
Oliver's saying, what players do you think might get a debut by the end of next season? So it's 18 months to get into here. Maybe he's extremely young, but how good is he? Mengi. I am the driver of the Mengi bandwagon. He's outrageously good. And he's a tank of a kid as well. If you found out that he was lying about his age, he was 26, you'd be like, yeah, I knew.
We spoke to him after the game on Friday, after the Youth Cup, and, you know, you sort of get up close and personal. And weirdly,
you go, what?
Well, it wasn't like
what
I was
stood on.
It actually wasn't like I was craning my neck too much, and I'm not the biggest lad, but he did have an aura about him, and it's sort of, you know, width wise.
He's had that since he was 15.
Right, well, there we go. Yeah,
he's a beast.
Yeah,
I love him. I think he's got a reckless side to him, almost a Bay element to him, where you go, like, he's just going to mull you. But I like that, mate.
I really like the way he was very articulate, you know, sort of was saying the right things, not the right things as in, okay, well done, checklist, you know, from a media, you know, press officer stance. It was more just what you'd like to hear from a captain of that youth team, you know, clearly taking ownership of the situation and their progress through to semi-finals. I like him as well.
He also mentions Shawtire. You did an article yesterday on him, didn't
you? Yeah, good point. Yeah, let's plug the article. So if you go on The Athletic...
Fucking good at this presenting,
that is,
me.
That is... We didn't even plan that, did we? So Shawtire, he's already signed his scholarship and he signed a pre-pro contract. So when he turns 17 next February, he's already sort of agreed that deal, so he's basically going to be United pro, no problem. Which I guess apparently there's been a few clubs having a sniff around him, European wise.
I think it's always the case with all of these lads that are coming through. Showtime, I think, has got a real big future. As we mentioned, we spoke yesterday, was it Monday on the phone?
Yeah,
we had a chat on Monday, didn't we? We were talking about Showtime's. I think he had the record for youngest appearance in a youth league game.
14.
Under 19 level. And looked good.
Yeah.
Looked young in it, to be fair, but looked good.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real, it reminds me of Wayne Rooney a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like you go, I don't really know where you play.
Oh,
but
right,
you're dead
sense.
Good at football.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it.
Yeah, his physique's definitely not quite the same, is it? But I know what you mean. What surprised me actually against Wigan on Friday was his passing. Like, I knew that he could dribble and you know, speed or whatever, but the passes that he was making, not only in the execution, but also the vision, I thought I was really impressed with.
Corey, are United in for a centre-back or are they happy with Lindelof partnering Maguire? Seen links to Koulibaly, but I'd like to see Upamecano.
I wish I knew who Upamecano was, to be honest.
You're kidding?
Go on.
You're German Bundesliga watching.
See, I don't.
Pathetic, Laurie.
Is the Bundesliga any good?
Oh, my God.
In reality?
I tell you what, it's the most fun.
Okay.
You can drink on the terraces.
Okay.
And there's loads of safe standing.
Yeah.
And fans own 50% of every club.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And then they can hold banners up and potentially get...
That's a bit mad, isn't it? Yeah. The way they've everyone seen their ass about a billionaire.
Doesn't strike right with me, that. The fact that you've got other things that go on in the game and they haven't, you know, I accept that it's not German football, you know, the Porto lad, I think there was distressing scenes when he was physically restrained from coming off. But there has been issues like that in Germany, okay, not that kind of focus, but, you know, then...
That's the monkey chanting stuff you're on about.
Yeah, sorry. So, and then for them to kind of kick a ball around and show massive solidarity with, a billionaire owner. Yeah. I mean, yeah, clearly a banner with that on, it's distasteful, ideally. Yeah, let's not have it, but... I think they were showing solidarity with the was it Dortmund fans that had been banned?
Yes,
previously
Dortmund's ultras, I believe.
Right, there we go.
Been in trouble with them,
and then. So I don't know. It just struck as odd that would be where you draw the line in the sand, and then you've got Thomas Muller equating it to racism. I think in one of his posts, he was sort of saying, we take a stand against all kinds of discrimination, you know, hate messages, and then I don't know. It just didn't quite sit right with me, all that.
Do you reckon it was a mistranslation? Or an awkward translation?
I don't know. I think he grouped it. I think it was a German speaker that I saw who'd reported it and sort of saying this is, you know, I clearly he's not saying that what that banner represented was the same as, you know, people who chant, you know, monkey chants, but he's talking about it in the same conversation. And I know I would always separate those two things.
Upamecano was.
Educate me.
One another lad that was on trial at United.
Okay.
And who was the other lad? I found out about this one yesterday. Did you know Odegaard was on trial at United as a teenager?
Okay, but there is more link with that, isn't there? Marcel Boot went and scouted him, didn't he?
So,
go on.
There was a trial game, in which Odegaard played in with Marcus Rashford, same year, and they were fucking ridiculous as a partnership. Odegaard's got an excellent touch and he's got an excellent free ball, good vision, as he's displaying in La Liga this season. And Marcus just had that knack. This is when Marcus was playing left forward. Marcus just had that knack of getting onto him. I think Marcus scored 4 in a 4-all draw in a trial game, and I think Odegaard laid at least 3 of them on. And if that was a partnership that they could resurrect, I'd be very excited about it. United chose, I believe, to go with Callum Gribbin.
And he was already at the academy.
And I believe they chose, and hindsight's 20/20, and you go, we chose wrong. Well, you don't know where we chose Greenwood over, say, Martinelli,
yeah,
who was on trial as well. Or you don't know if we chose Angel Gomez over some other little playmaker that we might have had for 5 minutes. But they chose, I believe, I'd have to check the ages on him, but I think it might have been Roshan over Upamecano.
Right.
I think they generally do like to go over the younger lad, but that's not always the case. We've obviously seen Pogba, Fosu Mensah, Chong, Burkhardt. I think they went with him for a little bit, and then he was overtaken by Greenwood, as everybody was overtaken by Greenwood. But that sort of scouting that we do around them 15, 16-year-olds, something's very right with the identification of those, even if it's not even keeping hold of those. Because Upamecano, I think, made his debut like the year after for Leipzig and has been a shade under world class since. I wouldn't be sad to see Upamecano.
You'd be in for that. Ideally they would get another centre back in to partner Maguire, but at the moment your priorities are sort of elsewhere, aren't they?
What about Jude Bellingham to Dortmund, Glory?
They're definitely in for him, yeah. Well, obviously, we've seen the reports from ESPN and Bild today. So, yeah, I think that's on the right lines. United, we'll see. Go on The Athletic tomorrow for more.
Laurie's got an article coming about it tomorrow on The Athletic, which I think you should read. Sounds interesting and, by the looks of things, doesn't want me to tell you. So I'll move on. Grealish and Maddison, obviously that's coming up. What's your thoughts on that? I think we bid for both, we negotiate with both, and we get the one we can get.
I think that might be the way they're looking at things as well. I mean, they've done it before, haven't they, where they've had two or even three sometimes transfers where they've advanced them to even the stage of having a contract, you know, presented in front of players, and then, you know, the line's gone cold and, okay, we figure out what's going on here, they're going for somebody else. It's a delicate situation, isn't it? Personally, I think Grealish is the number one. I've written that they would ideally like. And I think that's a more achievable deal than the Maddison one. Maddison,
you've got to think the start point for Maddison's at least double.
Yeah. Well, if Villa go down, you know, you're looking at... It still would be a significant fee, but you're looking at maybe 40, 45 million for him.
With Maddison, you're thinking you're probably starting 900 looking at what happened with
Leicester. 100%. We've seen this story so many times with Leicester, obviously, particularly with United. You know, they're going to ask for big money. He's already got, I know he's in negotiation with a new contract, and I thought he might have been signed by now. And that wouldn't necessarily preclude, you know, a summer transfer. You know, it doesn't have to, Leicester don't need to sell. He's already got, I think, 3 years left on his contract. They've got all the balls in their court.
I think he's only renegotiating to get a big fat wage rise, because I think he's on, you know, a player got signed from the Championship kind of wage.
I think he's on about 50 grand, yeah.
Get out of bed for that. Get out of bed for that. Eli. Fuck off. I'm going to pay cut. Ross, I would love Maddison, but I would be happy with Grealish. I think I'm with you. I think he's got a bit of an X factor about him, Grealish. That I think Maddison almost might be a tad too nice. Corey, this is an interesting one. The Telegraph reported this today that Harry Kane could be looking to leave Tottenham. And of course, that means United have been linked with him. I can't see anything being in that from us because of the fee.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I mean, clearly the 150 mil is a hell of a lot of money. You know, even for United, I've written a piece about how the fact that those accounts sort of show that really, if they're going to spend big, big money, that they'd have to sell players. I mean, we expect Pogba to go, obviously, don't we? Perhaps there might be a few more fringe players. Obviously, Jesse Lingard is rumoured to be on the market if with Raiola as his agent. But yeah,
you don't sign Raiola to get you an extension.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But no, the Harry Kane one is an interesting development. I mean, Matt Law, very good journalist who wrote that, he'll be well sourced.
I think there's two things at play there. I think in the same article he mentions Jose won't be given a lot of money for the summer.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Jose's gone, what can I sell?
Yeah.
I'll sell that. I think that from Kane's perspective, 27 years of age, one big move somewhere, or if we're not having a big move somewhere, one big payday, one big stupidly fat contract to stay at Tottenham.
Yeah.
I think that's what's at play there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah.
I think 150 million seems to be the quoted price, and I could imagine it being that price as well. For that, I would rather see Grealish and Sancho in a United shirt than one Harry Kane.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Albeit United obviously do want a striker, but I mean... Obviously, we wouldn't, you know, pin all our hopes on Igalo, but the way that he's actually come in and has done little bits and bobs, I'm quite satisfied with that deal already. And
mate, I'd start him in the derby.
Would you? Yeah.
Fucking right, would you? If Laporte's probably out, so you're looking at Fernandinho or Stones.
Yeah.
What's Igalo bring? Energy, aggression,
physical
pace,
presence.
Physicality. Mm. You just say, we're pressing from the front and you're leading it. Go. Watch what happens.
Yeah.
If he gets the 90 minutes, I don't think he does. I think he probably starts against Derby.
Yeah, I think he'll start against Derby and then he'll come off the bench against City and Martial will be starting again. But he's given United another option, hasn't he?
Keith. All right, Keith. Who calls a baby Keith, by the way?
Well, it depends how old. I mean,
I know, but at what point did you ever look at a baby and go, Keith? There we go, Keith.
Anyway. I'm called Laurie, what can I say?
Yeah, fair ball. Can United really land Grealish, Sancho and Kane in the summer? I don't think so.
No, that three would be fantasy football territory, I
That's
think.
That's when FFP are on the phone like,
yeah, what's going
what
on?
What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Will Axel play right back versus Derby and Wan-Bissaka as a knock? Axel's been in and around the team, hasn't he, but not quite.
Yeah, he played against Stoke, didn't he, on Monday night, under-23s. Apparently, he didn't play well, but then I don't think anybody at the back played particularly well, disorganised. But so maybe it was like a different back four than was used to. I think there was I think it was. But anyway, yeah, but he is playing games at least. He could be on the bench against Derby. It'd be good if they're winning. It could be a good game to bring him back onto.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka out, Laird in. I'd love to see Ethan given a debut.
Well, is he was injured again, wasn't he, Laird?
He's made of plastic. He's fucking annoying because he's such a good
player.
Yeah,
he's
really frustrating.
Player, yeah.
What he's like with his injuries at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see him get his debut in a domestic game at least. Obviously, he played in Europe, but yeah. Really want to see him. Because I think the ceiling for him is unlimited.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you get from Wan-Bissaka, I think you're a shade under that with defending ability. He stays on his feet a lot more rather than going, he doesn't go to ground. I mean, nobody goes to ground like Wan-Bissaka. I don't think anyone has ever gone to ground like Wan-Bissaka, has
he?
And
loves
and nail it as well.
It, yeah.
He'd be like, well, yeah, oh, fair play, good tackle. But going forward, I honestly think there's probably a right winger in there. Mm. You know, you've got a cross, you've got a left foot, you've got a right foot. You know, like I said, he scored 22 goals from left back before they moved him to right back. And then they moved Brandon from right back to left. I don't know what the fuck that was all about, but that was what they did. But he scored 22 from left back and then Greenwood came in and just fucking... Just was like, I'll take over the scoring for now if you don't mind. And Greenwood ended up as under-16's top scorer.
Yeah.
But Laird scored 22 goals from fullback and was leading scorer at one point in the season. He's outrageously good. Mm. And he's confident. And the England setup had him playing in the same squad as, I think it was Jimmy Garner, Mason, and I think there was one other in the squad as well. Can't think who that was, but they were... brilliant. And you know, obviously you're talking about the entire country here, but Laird was playing at centre half, which I think rounded a lot of his defensive game out. Mm. You saw the leadership side of him. Mm. I think he's a fucking hell of a player. Mm. I'm all about Ethan Laird getting a good go at United, I think.
It was good to see him signing new contracts, and you know, that's obviously a faith, isn't it, from the United to of what he can bring.
Any updates on the Angel Gomez situation?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, we've discussed this, right? I'm right in saying our info, my info was that those reports about him agreeing a new deal were not correct.
Just bollocks.
Yeah, so not correct.
Six bollocks.
Well, I'm allowed to... load of rubbish. supposedly, you know, it's difficult, isn't it, to know exactly these things. It's always negotiations.
But here's the thing. The person I asked would know, and he said no. Mm. The person you asked would know and said no. Mm. So it's a fucking no, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't mean tomorrow he doesn't sign it.
Yeah.
And that's the nightmare.
Yeah.
That we can sit here today and says, you know, them reports that came out on Saturday, on Saturday they were bollocks.
Yeah.
On Friday, that might be 100% accurate. But that's the world we live in.
Isn't it is. It's a difficult when you put your name to something, you know, you live or die by it. But as you say, we can only report what we're told. Yeah.
As of weekend, that was nonsense.
And it is. Yeah, it's not correct.
I still think he'll sign.
It's difficult. I don't know. I wrote a piece after the Tranmere game where he travelled, didn't he? And he wasn't in the squad, and I was sort of thinking, is that a sign? You know, Ollie's done some interesting things with him and Chong this season, where he's left them out entirely. He's brought them back in. Chong a bit more so, obviously, recently. And you're thinking, oh, I thought he was off to Inter or whatever. So I don't quite, you know, it's carrot or stick, or is it, you know, where are we at with it? Is it resting James?
Is it like purely squad need? Because I heard before Christmas, Chong's played his last game for United.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
So I went with that.
Yeah.
That's clearly bollocks. Yeah. That's from... That was a well-sourced, should we say.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, well, that was wrong.
Managers change their minds, you know. Situations demand that players come back into the fold. Mm. It's so difficult to dictate. I mean, I wrote, didn't I? United were going to go for Mario Mandzukic in January, and then he ended up going to Qatar. I mean, I still think that if they hadn't gone to Qatar, they might have actually, you know, thought, you know, because in the end, they ended up with Igalo.
At what point was Igalo on a list?
Yeah.
People were like, oh, we only got him because his agent's the same agent as Solskjaer. Yeah, but that's how a lot of deals get done.
It is kind of one point I do want to make, actually, on Solskjaer's agent. You know, I've spoke to other people in the game, and agents of managers do often recommend players to, you know, and particularly in Solskjaer's situation, he clearly knew absolutely categorically that he needed another centre forward in, you know, as soon as Marcus was injured. And who's he going to rely on there? He's, you know, he's got connections.
Well, if you're a manager, if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you've got half a dozen people that you trust implicitly.
Yeah.
One's got to be your agent by the pure nature of what he does.
Yeah.
So if you say, is it Jim?
Jim Solbakken, yeah.
Jim, I really need a striker, mate. What do you think? And he'd be like, well, what are you thinking? Mm. And he'd be like, I just want some dickhead who's going to tear around the place. You know, Igalo's a United player, a United fan. Mm. And he'd be like, is it? Big time. And he'd be like, let's watch a bit of tape.
Yeah, that's it. They will have then, you know, watched stuff and sounded it out. And obviously they had the Josh King one as well going, as we talked about earlier. They have different transfers that they progress and sort of see what can come back. So, you know, for the cost of it, I don't mind how that shook down.
No, and I think we're talking about this on a fixed list, which is coming out tomorrow with me and Joe. I think it was anyway. If you have, let's say you go with Igalo, obviously you take him to the end of the season. Ollie clearly wanted Haaland. You're not getting Haaland this summer now. But I think next summer, he's at Dortmund to be a stepping stone
100%.
Somewhere else. Yeah. If Igalo works for you now, he's going to cost you essentially nothing. Why wouldn't you stay with Igalo for another year and then bring your first choice in, rather than go with your C or D choice and still spend 70, 80 million and not quite be happy with him? Mm. I think you probably just... Here's a caveat on this, is that has Ollie got the time for that? Has he got the time to be able to go, I'll just get my first choice in 18 months? Mm. Or does he need someone who's going to bang 30 goals in for him now? Because as much as we all buzz off Igalo, if he scores 10 goals, I think we'll all be well happy with that. Mm. He's not going to score 30.
No.
Prove me wrong.
Well, that's it. Obviously, it depends, you know, but ideally then you'd have, you know, Rashford back, wouldn't you, from injury, and, you know, Martial, you know, he keeps sort of frustrating us at times.
Do you want to cover that? Because that's factually not correct, is it?
Yeah, probably best leave that.
Okay. I'd have answered it, because I know that's not right, is it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's not. That's not what happened.
All right, we'll leave it. I don't know why we played Timbo at right back. His best games were at centre back for LVG. I think his best game was that Spurs game. He played right back. But I've seen him play as... I think he can be a Kante-style rat-in midfielder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really, really. But he's been out for a long time. Yeah. He's hardly played in 2.5 years. Oh, my God, what's just happened here from Amazon? I don't even know what all that lot is. Because the size of that one. Anyway. Someone's asking about Edouard to United, like the kid from Celtic.
Yeah, there was a rumour of this in January. It's definitely one they're looking at, but at the time they said... No, not one. And obviously it didn't come to pass, but it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's definitely on their radar anyway.
This is the thing, it's hard to... I mean, same thing with the Austrian league, same thing with any other league, even the Portuguese league.
Yeah.
You look at the goals and assists that we saw coming out of Bruno, and you're like, I don't know what that translates to. Now, with Bruno, it's kind of translated for it by exactly what we saw over there, actually. Yeah. So, you know, crack on. But I don't know what the Scottish League translates to. When you see, like, Scott Sinclair's essentially a legend at Celtic, he signs for Preston.
Yeah.
You go, ah, okay. Yeah. And actually, do you know what? I don't know what he's done at Preston, but let's find out. Mm. Because if he smashed it at Preston, then... Why have I just searched Scott Preston? Raul Jimenez, Prem proven. Mm. That's obviously a second choice then, though, isn't
it? Mm. I think he's brilliant, but for the price and his age, you know, if United could get him for, I don't know, 50 million, you'd 100% do it, but would Wolves sell him for that? No chance.
50 million's a new 5 million, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, his goal, that performance at Spurs on the weekend was brilliant, you know, him... Neto, the link up with Neto and Jota. I mean,
I really like a lot of that Wolves team.
Jota's probably the one actually that I would love to see at United if they could do something, because I just think he's got such a bullishness about him. He's not very tall, you know. He's like, what is he, 5'7" or something? But get him off the ball, no chance. He's an absolute bulldog, and he's a good guy. I've spoken to him for an interview, and he speaks very intelligently, and you can just sense that football's his life.
They don't have any info on Scott Sinclair's prowess at Celtic in the league, but I do believe he scored, what was up here, 62 in 167 games for Celtic. Is that a bad return?
Yeah.
He scored 1 in 10 so far at Preston.
Yeah. It's a sign, isn't it?
So what the fuck is that level? I don't know.
But then Virgil van Dijk came from Celtic and, you know, clearly, if they'd just signed him from Celtic...
That's it. There are, and here's the caveat. Is there's always been good players that have played. Henrik Larsson, yeah. Gennaro Gattuso. There's always been some belting players that have gone and played in Scotland. But I don't know...
To stake your whole... You know, you search for a striker on a guy like that. Yeah, it would be a risk, wouldn't it?
Big time. Rashford, Jota, Greenwood, Marshall. Yes, I subscribe for that. I mean, Sancho. I mean, even forgetting, just let's just ignore Martial for a second. Sancho, Greenwood, and Rashford.
Yeah.
With Grealish in behind.
Yeah.
And Gareth Southgate's like, yeah, just let's have a look at that. What does that look like? That's quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was there on Sunday, wasn't he, at Goodison. He had a look at, obviously he was there really, I suppose, maybe for Pickford, but Greenwood, you know, he got us. Maybe that was why he shifted, actually, because I think he was originally down for the League Cup, and then maybe got word that Greenwood was starting, or so have a look at Goodison Park. Wouldn't be surprised.
In Foden, a weird call-up. Obviously, he's rumoured to be getting a call-up now on the back of actually starting a game for City. I mean, you can laugh, but...
Yeah. It's a fact.
When you've got Madison, you've got... Grealish hasn't even had a call-up yet.
Yeah. He's got... Grealish will be called up this
But
this
how month. How is Foden skipping this queue?
Foden's been spoken about for years, hasn't he, though? I mean, he's done the whole under-21s. He's been in that environment, hasn't he? Whereas Grealish... was with Ireland to begin with, and then did come, you know, have a bit of time with England under 20, but he's not really been around that group. Plus also, I mean, Grealish's performances, you know, until this season in the Championship, which I still think are more credible than, you know, the bit parts that I guess Phil Foden would have been playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he was worthy of a call-up last season.
He quite possibly was, I suppose, in the circumstances. Southgate had quite a few that he felt were in the Premier League and doing okay, so stick with them. And I think they did all right for him, didn't they? But I think now, if he doesn't pick Grealish in this next squad, you're thinking something's going wrong there.
But I think what Grealish did and he's doing lends a lot of credence to having someone like that Calvin Phillips from Leeds called up, because for me, that of holding midfielder role, you're looking at Dyer and Henderson, who... You know, rivalries aside, I don't like either of them. I don't rate him or like him.
People are saying footballer of the year, and he's been out of the team, and Liverpool are losing.
Yeah. Let's just move on from that, because that's a load of bollocks. Okay. All I've got to say is just go and watch what he did, his last performance for England in the World Cup against Croatia, when he was trying to knock pigeons off the front of that stadium. It was one of the worst performances. England struggled holding possession, and what all Henderson did, Captain Henderson did, was just oof it to no one. It was horrendous. Honestly, I would have battered him if I was in charge. Someone like Calvin Phillips, I would actually trust to be a more ball-playing...
I totally take your point that I think what he's doing in the Championship should hold weight in considerations, because, as you said, with the Grealish as the precedent, you could see that Grealish was going to have a season like this from what he did last season in the Championship. So I think that is a certain, very valid point. And he's playing for Marcelo Bielsa, so clearly he's having to take on board very tactically astute.
I'm halfway through reading a Bielsa tactical book at the minute. It's a bit heavy, but I love it. There's a couple of managers that I'm kind of obsessed with at the minute. Clough, for loads of reasons, and Bielsa.
Yeah.
Mint.
Well, I'm actually rereading Fergie's autobiography potentially for a piece.
Leading or that one?
No, the earlier one.
That one.
Which one is it? It's earlier than that. It's the one. It's after they won the treble, basically. I think it's
Manager My Life.
Managing My Life, something like that. Yeah, and he was just. I'm sort of looking back at as a reflection for this Liverpool sort of comparison as to how he managed to keep the squad happy and motivated, and it sort of goes back to that sort of idea of every match needs to feel like it means something.
Yeah.
Whereas clearly the Watford game
and
for those players
to the
didn't.
Boil, like, we had Tony Shrewdwick on, and he said, "I don't want them fit for the season. The first week of August, I want them fit for August in August.
Yeah,
and then in the season we'll get them fit.
Yeah,
and you go, oh, interesting. And he goes, all I want to be is within a couple of points." They don't even care about being top at Christmas, because they know that they're going to go on this run.
Yeah.
And when you've seen Arsenal just hair out at times, Jose Mourinho's Chelsea used to hair out.
Yeah.
This Liverpool team have haired out. I wonder if there's some sort of, wisdom in what Fergie used to do in terms of no, don't fucking, nothing's won in October and November.
Yeah.
You just got to be within striking distance.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to March, April, that's when shit gets won. And I do wonder if there's some wisdom in that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Tony Studwick, I'd love to see that because he's really well thought of in the industry, I think, for what he's done at United and obviously now Chef
Wednesday. Yeah, he did a podcast with us. It was brilliant, actually. It was brilliant. And it was a good chat to him as well as Sam Bloke. He said we can actually go and do some stuff. So I'm going to get in touch with him and see. I don't know if they'll let us do a doc on Wales. Mm. I don't think we've got the pull for that, but I'm asking.
Yeah, no.
Because I said, can we come and like film training? He was like, yeah, that'd be a problem. Don't be a problem. And I'm like, oh shit, okay. So yeah, we're going to chase up with him and get on to that. But I mean, they could have an interesting time, I think, in the summer.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing the second and third games in the group. So Baku and then Rome, obviously Italy. So so hopefully they're still in it by the time I get out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping for Dylan Levert to have a decent back end to the season.
Yeah.
It looked like, I mean, the debut that I had in Astana, 100 completed passes.
Oh, brilliant one.
I don't give a shit who you're playing.
Yeah.
On your debut to make 100 passes is outrageous.
Yeah. And some of the style of passes was... they were penetrative.
They weren't just knocking it sideways. No, it was an excellent one. So I was really hoping, obviously he got ill and then he's not really featured, but I was really hoping that he could be someone that benefits from a couple more games now.
I wonder if Giggs will just try him in March, just sort of call him up and just sort of have him around the place.
He's not played again yet, has he? Or has he?
I think he played on Monday. Right. I need to watch the highlights, but when I was talking to somebody, they said he played on Monday. So hopefully if he plays...
He's going to be someone that's part of their team for 10 years.
Well, that's what I mean. So I can see the wisdom in at least having him around the squad. And then listen, if he doesn't play enough, you know, proper games until, you know, you get to... And I guess, you know, he'll be playing 23s now, won't he? Because he's not gone out on loan. So that is a difficulty. But I don't know, just as a bit of a wild card, you know, he clearly takes great care of the ball. And in the style that Giggs wants him to play, that fits really well.
Mate, if you're Ryan Giggs... You played your whole career with Paul Scholes.
Yeah.
And then you've got this skinny little Scally.
Who's quiet, just, you know, yeah, same kind of vibe.
He almost could be Scholes in a lot of his mannerisms and the ball playing that he's got. And I had a conversation with him when he got called up last summer. And I was like, holy shit, you have the Wales national team. And he was like, I know. And I was like, is Bale there yet? And he was like, no, nah, not yet. Because I think, did he have a, what was he in? I can't remember what it was. He came later anyway.
Right.
And I said, mate, all you've got to do is one over the top ball. Just one of them Scholesy ones. You know the ones with a bit of a backspin on it?
Yeah.
I said, just dunk it in front of him. Giggs would be like, get him on the fucking plane. And he goes, and I said, did you do it? And he was like, I did it. So I think that there's a weapon for Wales in there.
Yeah.
And obviously he was very close to making his debut, I think, his international debut in Croatia. I know his family travelled out for him and stuff like that, and he didn't get it. So he's had a bit of an unfortunate season, really, because he could be a full international and have played probably a Premier League game if he hadn't got ill.
Yeah, no, I totally think so. Fingers crossed, March, they've got two friendlies, Austria and USA, Wales, at home as well, so it's not like they've got to travel anywhere for it. So I'd
sort
like
it out, Giggs. Jesus. Right, I'm going to leave it there, but cheers for joining us, Laurie.
No, nice one.
And you can check Laurie's podcast out as well on The Athletic, which is Talk of the Devils with Carl. Mm. And definitely check out his piece with Jude Bellingham tomorrow because he's going to drop some bombshells, maybe. But right, we'll see you in the next one. Make sure to subscribe and join us tomorrow for the review of the game, and also the fixture list is out tomorrow with me and Joe, where we maybe take the piss out of Liverpool for being shit. Laters.